It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome back, everyone. It is a, well, somewhat cloudy day today here in our Amherst studio. It is, though, warm, but not oppressively hot like it was yesterday. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And I do also want to remind you that coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and brought to you in part by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy Outlet Liquor when you need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And buy your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. We go now back to Jeremy and Joe as they sat down with Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babich earlier this morning.
Well, Bobby Babich, Bills defensive coordinator, sitting down with us. First off, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
We found out it's your birthday.
It is.
41?
It is. I am 41 years old, and that is 41 years old. Every year I get past 40, it gets a little bit harder to do the things I want to do physically. So, no, it's got a lot of texts, a lot of love from the players, so I appreciate it.
Thank what are you doing physically? Hobbies like you just running, yeah. Doing whatever? I mean,
I like to stay in shape, work out. Try to get something in before every practice. We have a long transition period after our team meeting going into practice. So, like to try to, you know, burn some calories there, yeah. And stay on top of it because the season's long.
Yeah, it is one of the things that every year we come to camp. I've been coming to camp for like 20 years now. One of the things I always see is someone's out here running these fields at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m.
That's right.
Your days are packed, and imagine you're trying to find any time you can.
That's right. I'm not an early guy. Never been. When I played in college, I sucked at the early morning lifts and workouts. I need to wait a little bit. I need my body to get going. And but, no, it's great. It's great. The transition period allows me to get out here and get moving and really kind of – you know, get my heart going before practice, which is good.
Watching practices out here, I find myself feeling for the defense because, you know, you're practicing, you're doing your stuff, and yesterday pads are on. I feel like defensive players are more excited the pads are on because you guys,
right.
You're playing half of your job. You want to be physical. You want to do a lot of things out there. The offense is celebrating every touchdown, and I'm over here thinking the defense has to be, like, stewing inside. You know, we'd love to blow some of this up if we could.
Yes. Yes, I think there's always, you know, I mean, these are the most competitive people in the world that we deal with, especially your guys that are, you know, true pros. A lot of reasons they're true pros is because they're competitive spirit. And, you know, does it agitate me sometimes when we got a free runner and or we win a rush and the play continues? And, yes, it agitates me. But I know there's things that we need to do defensively. We need all the work we can get. And, you know, I was just thinking about it the other day. We have the opportunity to go against Josh Allen. That's who we're going against in camp every day. And there's a lot of great quarterbacks in this league, and we all know he's one of them. So we are getting tested in the right way on a day-in and day-out basis, which is building that callus for us defensively. You know, and there's a lot of things, you know, we're throwing a lot at our players. So it's not going to be 100% perfect all the time, and that's why we practice. That's why coaches have jobs.
Bobby Babich with us sitting down here at training camp. In terms of your coaching style, like you're pretty fiery out there, right? Like is that kind of always been the way you've coached these guys, even as a positional coach? And I guess has anything changed for you in the way you coach the guys on the field now that you're a coordinator?
So I would say yes. That's how it is, and I guess that's how it's always been, and I don't really notice it. It's just how I do it. And again, I'm very, very lucky to be in the position I'm at. So I'm not going to take that for granted. Maybe there are days where I do, but I quickly try to snap myself out of that and try to be as have an attitude of gratitude. And, you know, I am very – I say a lot of people say they love this game. I'm passionate about this game. It's been my whole life, created a lot of opportunities for me, for my family. And, you know, I owe the game more than the game owes me. So I think that's just how I go about it on a day-in, day-out basis. I'd say the biggest thing for me, and one of the hardest things as an adjustment is, like, you know, for instance, I've coached the linebackers the last time I was a position coach. And, you know, I don't know, there's 7 or 8 guys in that room. It's easier to pay attention to your guys. There's only 8 of them. But now I don't even know our roster number, whatever, you have 40, whatever we're at. And I've got to make sure I'm pouring into each one of those. So, you know, finding that time to pour into each one of those guys and give them a little feedback here, give them positive feedback, give them constructive criticism, and making sure I'm doing it for everybody, you know. And that's probably been the biggest challenge of, you know, my head trying to figure out, my head spinning a little bit of, okay, I need to talk to these guys today. I need to talk to these guys today. So,
as a former position coach, like, in that spot, are you able to see how other defensive coordinators did it as, like, a way to realize whatever – people coming before you about how to dip into each room like that?
Yeah, and I think so Sean told me a long time ago when I first got in the league, and I was young and I was lucky, and he talked to me a lot about, you know, when I was in an entry-level position, about professional development, not just, you know, I'm a DB guy by heart. That's who I am. That's what I played. That's, you know, and then He came to me at an early age and just talked about professional development. And if you really want to be a coordinator, you got to – maybe you don't have to master the defensive line per se, the furthest away from the DBs, but you've got to know enough to know what it looks like. So I spent a lot of time – I took that to heart. I spent a lot of time meeting with other people, paying attention to coaches we've had here in the past, everywhere I've been along the way, different ways to do things, different ways a lot of us learn, I wouldn't do that, I would do that, you know, and things you wouldn't do sometimes are a bigger part of that growth and that development of yourself. And that's okay. It doesn't make it right the way you, but there's a certain way you got to go about things. So, you know, it just opening yourself up and not having the blinders on, I think, is a big deal.
One thing, you know, you say you go against Josh Allen every day. The receivers you guys are going against every day as a DB coach, this group, one of the things we kind of watched the offseason play out, we thought they're getting big out there.
Yeah.
A lot of big receivers.
Yeah.
In terms of a physical style of game, I'd imagine that presents maybe a welcome challenge for your defensive backs. It's going to be a physical style of football.
That's right. That's right. And that's what Sean wants. And that's what we've wanted since – and not that we haven't had it, but that's what we've wanted the whole time we've been here, you know. And, you know, it's tough. You know, speed is an element, right, in the NFL when you're trying to cover speed. Obviously, we have some speed we got to cover in the AFC East. And when it's a different animal when you deal with big and strong. It's a different animal. I'll never forget, you know, I was back in Carolina and we're playing against the Falcons. And it was when Tony Gonzalez was there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, I don't know what team that was, maybe a second team. But
maybe
he was
Atlanta?
Yeah, Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was at Carolina and, like, he couldn't run anymore. But if he got you on his back, you weren't breaking the ball up because he was so big and so strong. And that was my first realization of, like, you know, you're coming from college football where it's speed, 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 speed. Well, then you go against Tony Gonzalez and you're like, we're going to be on him. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of us getting in the position to defend him. You know, so that creates its own challenge. That creates its own challenge, not to take away the speed of our wide receivers, because there's plenty. But, and, you know, Adam and Joe have done a great job with those guys, you know, and it's fun to go against every day. It's a challenge for us. And, you know, it's just going to help us going into the season.
Yeah. You mentioned that you're a DB guy, and kind of on this point, like, when we watch Rasul Douglas out there, like, he, for a corner, like, he's long. I don't, like, he's not big like a Tony Gonzalez, like a tight end,
yeah,
but he's long. And him coming in midway through last year. I don't know. Was it surprising he was able to make that much of an impact, not even being through a camp and a season? And I guess going into this year, like, he's a veteran, but that whole idea that you're talking about with physical players on the other side of the ball, like, how much does he provide given that he's a bigger corner?
The number one thing I'll say about Rasul is Rasul is a true professional veteran. Like, he can see the game. He can see things that other people can't see. He can do things that other people can't do. Sometimes we've got to pull the leash on him a little bit, you know, but he's calculated in what he does, and we know that. He is a bigger, longer guy. And I'd say this, I wasn't surprised, because I do truly believe this. If you're an interceptor in this league, you're an interceptor. If you take the ball away, you take the ball away. That's what you do. We've seen that over years with some of the players we've had here. And, you know, there was no doubt that he was going to get his hands on balls. And I had a sneaky suspicion, even coaching the linebackers, that there was he was going to create some balls going the other way and take it away from the offense. So I think where we're at now is this training camp. He's really getting into, and I think he was quoted as saying he just listened to Jordan Micah, and they told him what to do, because it is a challenge coming into in the middle of the season. But he's just trying to fine-tune those small details, and maybe he's ahead of the game as far as the scheme checks within what we're doing, so he doesn't have to rely on the guy behind him.
We saw a play yesterday, speaking of guys that get their hands on the ball and intercepted, Kair. He physical, hands-on, and then he just rips the ball away from Justin Shorter. Yeah. And, like, there's a guy that has had a little bit of trouble getting in the lineup consistently, but when he does, he's making plays. Where do you see Kair Elam's game right now at this point in his career?
Here was the biggest thing with Kair. Kair's a great human. He's a great human, which is, as we talk about here all the time, that's the first thing that we look for in players. Look, I talked to the defense about this as us as a whole, like, our past success, our past failures have no indication of what the Bills defense version in volume 2024 is going to do. And that goes the same to the individual, right? Your past failures, your scars sometimes are the best teachers. I tell the defense all the time, like, success is a terrible teacher. It's terrible. The best thing you – failure is the best teacher that – and I'm not saying there was failure with him. I'm not saying – but if there's anything in his mind or things we've addressed with him where he needs to improve, he's definitely attacking those day in and day out. And, like, we ask all our players in one of the – you know, we're big on process here. And part of the process is going, you know, day by day, hour – I say this all the time, hour by hour, minute. You can't get too far ahead. You can't get too far behind. So he's doing a great job of that. And he's coming to work every day where he mentally is in the right place.
You mentioned, so you were the linebackers coach the last 2 years before this season. And Terrell Bernard, statistically, big breakout, and he gets a chance to play. How different, not even say one's better than the other, but is it true that Edmonds the year before versus Bernard last year, you got results from both players, but how different are they really, I guess, playing the same position?
I don't know. I think every player's different. I think every player's different. And Tremaine, you know, will be a lifelong relationship with him, and he's a heck of a player. Terrell had a heck of a season last year. And just like I just said, the past success maybe that we believe Terrell had is no indicator on this year. The best thing I can say is this. They are both extreme professionals. They both are leaders. They both care. Mm-hmm. Mostly about not letting their teammates down, you know. So everybody's a different player. You know, you can look at different positions throughout our team. Our starting left defensive end or whoever goes out with the ones is different than the right defensive end. There's all different little nuances and things there, you know. And sometimes it's putting yourself in position. We talk about always just put yourself in position. When the opportunities come, it's your job to take advantage of those opportunities. And that's what we continue to do, you know, and Terrell's done a good job of that thus far. Seen some growth out of him. He's just got to continue to go through his process and take it day by day.
On your defensive line, Greg Rousseau, big year for him coming?
I hope Greg has a big day today.
That's right. Sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. I just said hour by hour. So
I hope Greg's doing the heck of a job getting warmed up before practice.
Sure.
You know, and that's you can't do that. You can have personal goals.
Yeah.
You know, you can have team goals. You can have all that, but there's a short-term vision and a long-term goal, right? So I hope his vision today is based off our emphasis. It's third and long today. I hope in his mind right now he's mentally preparing, he's getting ready, he's warming up, he's getting ready to handle today to the best of his ability. That's all. That's all. And then once we get to tomorrow, which is the day off, hopefully he's getting the rest he needs in a playoff caliber way that Sean talks about and all those type of things. So, you know, Greg is coming to work every day in a way that I can see the goals that he has for himself.
Yeah, maybe the better way to ask is the days that have led to this day, how much have you seen him round out his game, complete things, fill in gaps as a person, as a player?
Very conscientious, very conscientious. Coaches have jobs because you're going to identify areas of improvement for players, and we're constantly there to remind them. So he is showing those areas that we pinpointed for him. He is showing progress. But every once in a while, every player is going to, you know, fall back into some of the things that we said we got to improve on. And that's why it's great that we have an opportunity to be coaches, because that's what we're doing. I mean, you know, I once was told that the word coach came from, you know, back way back and, you know, when it was coach wagons, get you from point A to point B, and that's our job, you know. So our job is to get him from point A to point B. He's completely conscious of that, conscientious, let me say that, and couldn't be happier with Greg right now.
On Cole Bishop at safety, we've seen him make some plays out there. Obviously, Mike Edwards right now dealing with the injury. For Bishop, how challenging is that position for a rookie right away? Like, it's been mostly, you know, other than injury, it's been mostly Hyde and Poyer for so long that, you know, I'm sure they're the benefits of having those two. You just mentioned Douglas, how it would have been easier for him with those two back there. I guess just really in general, for Bishop at safety, how challenging is it for a player year one to come in and play that position?
And I would say the thing you hit on the head, I wouldn't even say rookie. I'd say year one veteran. Because we just ask so much of our safeties. You know, we ask a lot of, to be honest with you, we ask a lot of our linebackers, including Taren, because he's dang near a linebacker, and that level of communication, and then our safeties. And for any year one player, it's a challenge, you know, but we continue to push them. I'm extremely hard on that position. Constantly, I'm hard on them because I want to create that anxiety and that sense of urgency early, you know. But as the reps, and I'll say this, Cole's done a good job as the reps have gone on of getting better and better each day. So it's always a challenge, and you know we continue to push those guys. And Joe Dana does a great job. Al, Scott Booker with the Nichols, they do a great job of echoing those type of things and demanding those type of things.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
That was Buffalo Bills defense coordinator Bobby Babich on earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. Speaking on the defense, I've seen a lot of tweets right here from Matthew Beauvais. Von Miller looks like Von Miller, which is, of course, a great sign for the Bills.
That's something you would love to hear.
I think that's the thing is, like, you know, looking back at Miller in his first stint with the, or his first year with the Bills, he was everything you wanted him to be. He was exactly what you paid all that money for. He, I think, had 8.5 sacks. He had closed out essentially the Kansas City game, and he was on fire. He was great for the Bills in his first season here. It was last year where not great due to coming off an ACL tear and that taking much longer time than I think people are comfortable with for him to come back. But in his first season with the Bills, in 11 games played, he had 8 sacks. Against the Rams, he had 2. Against Kansas City, he had 2. You know, he was great for the Bills. He was well on track to finishing with 11, 12 sacks going into the playoffs, tears his ACL, and then last year, they got absolutely nothing out of him. And Miller has spoken on that by basically outright saying, like, what did I, you know, I'm Von Miller. I'm judged on sacks, and I had like 4 tackles.
Yeah, and I mean, Sal tweeted out that he already registered a sack and might have had another one. Obviously, they're not actually hitting Josh Allen, but it's like, you know, 1.5 sacks if you want to look at it that way. Like, if he had one for sure, and he could have had another one according to Sal here. And I mean, it's a lot better than what we saw last year.
And I will tell you, that is maybe the one area of concern I have for the Bills on this team, is just the depth they have at the defensive line. And if they get Von Miller back into being something close to 2022, I think that is going to be exceptional for the Bills going forward.
There was a short melee, according to Sal, about he just tweeted this. Kingsley Jonathan got the better of, I think Sal might have mistyped here, I think it's Richard Garriage?
No idea.
On the same play, Javon Sullivan appeared to make contact with Shane Buechele's arm. Spencer Brown, who was watching nearby, took offense, and a short melee broke out.
Yeah, can't touch the quarterback.
Well, I'm not saying.
And he had an offensive lineman nearby. Oh yeah.
Yeah, no. It. But hey, I mean, again, that's what you get with pads. You get a little more feisty. Yep. You get a little more aggressive. But
man, I mean, again, real quick on Von Miller, if he is back to what he was somewhat in 2022,
yeah,
that is going to be a huge addition for the Bills. That ultimately all they had to do was in effect wait. And then he takes the pay cut this offseason, that it's all incentive laden later on in the season of like 8 sacks, 9 sacks, 10 sacks, making the Super Bowl, what have you. If they've got him back, if this offense is as good as it seems to be at the start of camp with just spreading the ball around, I go back to Steve Tasker's comments with Jeremy and Joe yesterday, which is by the end of this year, this might be the best overall team McDermott has had as Bills head coach. And if they get Von Miller back, Rousseau has looked good to start camp. AJ Bonesa has always been kind of an underlying number guy. But again, if he's got Rousseau and Miller both going off, that's only going to help him. You do have Ed Oliver in the interior, along with a rookie who is highly touted in Dwayne Carter out of Duke and Daquan Jones.
I think that's something, too, that like I don't know if he's necessarily underrated, but I feel like Greg Rousseau might get a little overlooked at times.
He will, I think, but a lot of that is just due to his sack numbers. He's not a double-digit guy.
But at the same time, though, if you pair him in another after another season, right? Like he just had another year where he looked great, and it was basically just him because Von Miller was out for most of it. Or well, he wasn't out, but he was basically out. But if you put him with a healthy Von Miller, and it's in his third year now. I think
this would be his fourth year.
Fourth year. So that's even like, – I just think that's so
– we'll see. When they were together last in 22, I mean together last being like, okay, like they're playing together. Rousseau had 8 sacks. Last year he had 5. And that was essentially with Miller not doing anything. In 2022, you look at it, he wasn't active also himself for 3 games. So he only played in 13 last year. But post – Miller getting hurt, he did end up having 3 sacks. I mean, of his 8, 3 of them came in the latter half of the season following Miller's injury. But when Miller was there, week 1, a sack. Week 2, a sack. Week 3, a sack and a half. Week 4, a half a sack. Nothing in 5 and 6, and then a sack in 7. I mean, he was just kind of all over the field and doing a lot. He's inactive for 3 weeks. And then without Miller, he has 2 against the Jets and then 1 against the Patriots right at the end of the year. I do think, though, you need to see more from Rousseau is just getting the quarterback on the ground. I know coaches often talk about, like, you know, a pressure or just getting, you know, a quarterback off of the rhythm is good enough. I take that only so far. I do think you've got to end a play.
You've got to push them further back. You've got to make a second or a third down much more difficult to get, especially in the AFC with how many good quarterbacks there are. And you look at the Bills' schedule and some of the quarterbacks they're going to have to play this year. Let me just pull that up here real quick. It's much harder than last year. Of course, they're going to get Kyler Murray, a very mobile and active quarterback. Tua, he's kind of a guy. If you get him off his rhythm, you win. So
Sure.
Trevor Lawrence, though, was a guy who played really well against you in London. Yes, it was in London, and yes, you picked up some key injuries on defense. But
I think,
he looked very good against the Bills in London.
But the way that Trevor Lawrence ended the season last year...
Not great.
I think it depends on what Trevor Lawrence you get. If you get the Trevor Lawrence you saw in London, it's going to be a problem. But he's such an inconsistent guy so far. And the Jaguars as a whole have been so inconsistent over the past few years that it's not that I'm not worried about it, but I'm just like, we'll see what happens on game day.
But following that, you get Lamar Jackson, C.J. Stroud, Aaron Rodgers, Will Levis. Now all of a sudden you get a little bit of a break. Geno Smith. Ugh. He has had moments where he's looked like truly an elite quarterback over these last 2 years. Tua again.
I wouldn't say elite.
His first year with Seattle where he popped off?
Yes.
He looked amazing.
It's 1 year, though.
I mean, yeah, but like last year he looked solid.
But
for a moment he looked elite.
Okay.
He was putting up MVP numbers. It tailed off because Seattle wasn't that good, and then last year was a little shaky. But Seattle, I think, is going to throw more this year.
Mm-hmm.
Geno is concerning if I'm a Bills fan going up. I'm not going to just sit there and go, oh, we'll be fine. It's not the Tua thing coming up next week afterwards.
Yeah, but I real quick on Geno. I just think that I don't want to call it inconsistency. I just think that he has a ceiling that makes him look elite, and he's really good.
But it's just not going to be every single week.
Right. He has this ceiling that makes him look like he's an elite quarterback, but it's just not this consistent basis of – week in and week out, he's the reason his team wins games.
And to be fair, if he goes up against a Sean McDermott defense, it could be a real problem for him. Last year, though, I think a real big part of it is he almost threw 100 less passes. He threw 10 less touchdowns as well. He was a 4,200-yard passer, 30 touchdowns in 2022, 23, just over 3,600, 20 touchdowns. His completion percentage also went down about 5 points. It was a much worse year for him statistically. Following Seattle, though, it's Tua again. He's the kind of guy that if you get him off his rhythm, it falls apart. Anthony Richardson, though.
That's a wild card.
That's a wild card, but from the small sample size we had last year, that could be concerning. Patrick Mahomes.
Obviously.
You get it. Bye week. Brock Purdy, less so, but the San Francisco 49ers offense as a whole, I am worried about.
Right, because if you can get to Brock Purdy, I think you have it made, but the question is, can you get to Brock Purdy?
Yeah. The Rams, Stafford, if he's healthy, he's awesome. Mm-hmm. Detroit, maybe the best offensive line in football.
Oh, yeah.
And then a great offensive system.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get to him. Potentially Drake May, Aaron Rodgers. Again, potentially Drake May or a Jacoby Brissett. But I think late in the year, you're playing Drake May at that point. It's a much more difficult quarterback group they're going to have to get through this season compared to last year. And they need their defensive line firing on all cylinders. I think Von Miller, though, being healthy could lead to that. We will see, though. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to join the show. We got to take a quick time out here. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.